Tomorrow is the first day of April. And, you know, does anybody ever think it's kind of strange how Easter never falls on the same day?
Yeah.
I mean, I know there's something to do with the calendars and different things like that and how it all works. But, you know, in my mind, Christmas, 24th and 25th, every single year. It's not like it's going to be December 28th one year and December 1st the next. But anyways, I don't need to be told why. I mean, I could figure it out myself. But anyways, we are in this resurrection season. Easter will be the 21st of April this year, so put that on your calendars. Also, remember, we do our sunrise service with the community church at 8 a.m. on that morning. You are more than welcome to come and be a part of that. We'll give more information on that as it comes up, but just put that on your calendar as well. That doesn't mean, oh, I can go to church early that day and then don't have to go to normal service at 10:30. No, it's not how it works. It shouldn't anyways. You get a double blessing and breakfast in between. It's like a sandwich of sorts. So be ready for that. Okay, Mark chapter 11. So in this Easter season, I wanted to do a series, obviously, on Easter. And really, in the next 3 weeks, I want to talk about the title of my series is going to be In These Moments. And what it's about is how the moments before the cross, literally the Passion Week. So there's a number of things you read in your Bible from Mark chapter 11 and, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where there's a week before the cross. So right after the triumphal entry, do you guys like our little banner thingies that we put up? Yeah, kind of get the feel for it. So we're past banner one, and we're in between that banner and this banner, that part of the week. You know, so it's after the triumphal entry, and there's certain things that Jesus said. There's experiences that took place during this time that are profound. They're significant for that time, but they're significant for our lives as believers right now. And I want to talk about one of those moments today. So Mark chapter 11, verses 12 through 14. If you were at Wednesday night, we actually had a glimpse of this already. We discussed my sermon because this Wednesday we do not have our Wednesday night midweek dinner and notes because I won't be in town and a lot of other people won't as well. Spring break. Okay, so they already know where we're going with this, but here we go. Mark 11, verse 12 through 14 says, "The next morning as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. He noticed a fig tree in full leaf a little way off, so he went over to see if he could find any figs. But there were only leaves because it was too early in the season for fruit. Then Jesus said to the tree, 'May no one ever eat your fruit again.'" And the disciples heard him say it. Now, skip down a couple verses. Now, in between this moment and verse 20, we're going to continue. He makes his whip of, you know, cords, and he drives out the temple tax collectors, all this different stuff. And now they're leaving Jerusalem, and they're heading back out town. It says, "The next morning as they passed by the fig tree he had cursed, the disciples noticed it had withered from the roots up." Interesting. Peter remembered what Jesus had said to the tree the previous day and exclaimed, "No way! Rabbi, look! The fig tree you have cursed has withered and died." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Have faith in God." Okay, now understand, this is coming from the Passion Week. And there is something that Jesus, I mean, he knows the cross is coming. He knows why he came to the world. And he knows that right now, literally days away, the cross is coming. And for some reason, this moment with the fig tree and these words were significant. Something that the disciples needed to hear. And so he says, "Have faith in God." Verse 23, "I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, 'May you be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything. And if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, since your Father in heaven will forgive you of your sins." That actually wasn't supposed to be part of my message, but that's okay because it actually relates to a point. Here we have, okay, question. This is a question I asked Wednesday night. Has anybody besides myself ever thought that Jesus was unfair to the fig tree? A bunch of us, seriously. I have read this my whole life, and I thought, it's not the fig tree's fault. You're God. You tell me you didn't know there was no figs there? And I've been going through this thing as of late, and don't email me and question me after church. Just let my imagination be what it is. But I have this theory going on. I don't know that Jesus did know. Remember, if you read in Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, he says that he did not consider equality with God as something to cling to, but he left his divine privileges aside and he came down to this world as a man. Now, there's a lot of, I mean, I'm getting off track here, but just go with me on this. Do you realize it wasn't until after his baptism in the Holy Spirit, he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, that his ministry began. He never performed miraculous works before that point. So there's obviously some omnipotence that was not in his life because he left his divine rights with the Father. Now he knew, I mean, so you think of omniscience, omnipotence, omnipresence. He wasn't omnipresent when he was on this earth. He was confined to his body. He asked questions when he was 12 to the religious teachers. Understand, Jesus wasn't saying, oh, I already know the answer, but I'm going to ask a question because I know 2,000 years from now, they're going to be talking about this. I think he was learning. Not that, again, it's a very interesting, weird thing to consider. But let's get back to this fig tree. It's not like Jesus saw this fig tree across the street and thought, oh, I know there's no figs on that tree. But this is a life lesson. And so I'm going to just say, I'm going to curse it anyways. Do you realize that would be unjust? That's unfair, right? And I've thought that. I mean, for Jesus to know there was no figs on that tree and curse it anyways is not right. It's not fair. It's not that tree's fault. I don't know. Just think about that with me for a bit. And you can talk about it a month from now after I'm out of the series and moving on. But in these moments, in this moment, Jesus was teaching his disciples something, but here's what he did know. He knew the cross was coming, and he only had so much time, and there were certain things his disciples had to have established in their life because he knew he wasn't going to be there much longer. And he knew this. They had to have faith in God. It had to be a real faith. It had to be a faith that had deep roots. It had to be a faith that would last. Not just an outward faith, but one that was inside deep. From that, fruit would be produced. There is a faith that produces fruit in our lives. You see, the fig tree, it had potential. It had the potential and the capacity to bear fruit. But when Jesus was going to inspect and find, look for fruit, it wasn't there. I wrote this statement down. I thought, you know, perspective, you know, expectations. Perspective is everything concerning potential. And here you have, there was the potential for fruit on this tree. Jesus knew the potential was there. And he was going, expecting to find it. But no, now let's just fast forward and go to our own lives for a moment. You know, there's potential in each and every one of us. There is God-given potential. There are plans that he has designed for you. But you know, sometimes our perspective or somebody else's perspective can limit or change the possibility of that. That person's just no good. Nothing good ever came from Nazareth. Mossy rock's too small. Your past, you can't overcome your past. But yet God sees potential. And again, think of this tree. We'll get into it more in a moment, but because of this tree had the potential to bear fruit, but it wasn't. Jesus saw the potential in this tree to bear fruit, and he actually went up expecting fruit to be there. But it wasn't happening. Nothing good will come from this. I think Jesus asks sometimes, why can't they see what could be? What could be in their lives? You see, God is always looking at the potential. He's looking at that seed of faith and what it could do for us. what could happen in our lives, no matter what the circumstances. You see, every moment during the Passion Week, Jesus is showing deep things to his disciples and how they can continue once he's gone. So what about the fig tree? What, I was going to say ticked off, I guess he could be righteously ticked off. I mean, what ticked Jesus off so bad that he had to curse this poor little fig tree? Nice. Thank you, Timmy. I like my fig tree. It's a great visual. I've thought about this a lot. And, you know, there are times where my mornings are so busy, actually more times than not, so chaotic that I don't eat breakfast. So a couple weeks, or actually this last week, and so what I've been doing is, since, you know, sometimes, I mean, Tara's usually gone by 6:45 or whatever, the girls have to get up, and there's something about getting girls to get ready for school is difficult. So anyways, most of my time is, you know, if Tara's not home, if she's home, I'm sleeping. She can do it. I mean, if you're the mom, it's your job anyways. That's not how it is. But anyways, okay, back on track. You see, if I don't prepare well enough, I start to ramble. So let's get focused. Back on track. Okay. So anyways, what I've come to do is this. Get the girls ready, get lunch ready, get all this stuff, get out the door, and this great thing from Costco, these little Jimmy Dean croissant sausage egg sandwiches are wonderful. And so what I do is I grab one out of the freezer, and when I get to the church and get all my stuff in place, throw it in the microwave, make it, and then my day begins. I've got my coffee, I've got my Jimmy Dean, and I go for it. So this last week, Costco is a 12-pack. And I knew we were running low because we haven't made a Costco run for a while. We're just sort of, you know how it works, right? We can stretch this a little bit further. So Tara bought me some other ones that have like ham, which is fine, but ham and egg and cheese. And so I wasn't sure how many I had. And so I opened the freezer and there's none in there. And I was like, oh, I needed that. Can anybody relate to that? You know you're busy, you know you've got a lot going on, and you need it. This is how Jesus felt. Yeah. He's on his way up to Jerusalem. He knows he's about to drive out all these temples. Actually, again, that's a theological debate for later. But he knows he's going for a purpose, and he sees in the distance this fig tree, and he's like, oh, breakfast is right there for me. And he gets up to where the breakfast is supposed to be, and it's not there. In pure holiness and justice, for whatever reason, he curses that fig tree because what should have been there wasn't. Right? Okay. Jesus is walking. He's hungry. He sees a fig tree and he's hungry. It looks like it's in season because it has leaves on it. Right? It should be there. I told the Wednesday night crowd I have taken a course in figology this last week off of Google. I wanted to know, figuring Jesus should have known about this, so why is it that he expected there to be figs? It says in the Bible right there that it was not in season. Jesus should have known this. Now, I mean, okay, I found something out. Actually, in that region of the world, there's two crops of figs on a tree. One actually takes place prior to the leaves being leafed. And then there's a second crop after the leaves. Now, the first crop isn't as good. In fact, they said it's only good for like jams and jellies and preserves and stuff like that. And you got to put more sugar in it and stuff like that. But it's still edible. So whatever it was, Jesus probably thought, oh, I'm in a pinch. Leaves are on that tree. There should be some figs left on it from the first crop. And as he goes out, he found nothing. He goes like, oh, stinking tree. Curse you. You should have had fruit on you and you didn't. And it goes off and comes back. The tree had leaves. It was all promise and no fulfillment. Dressed to play with no game. A drugstore cowboy. I just thought of that one. Do you know what a drugstore cowboy is? They're in Texas, I am told. They're the guys that look like a cowboy. They got the hat, they've got the shirt, they got the buckle, but they've never ridden a bull. They live in Austin or Dallas, Fort Worth. It sounds good. But they're more city than anybody you've ever met. But they look the part. I've got more on this. It's like the guy, has anybody ever played basketball, football, sports of any kind? Do you remember, and you remember in elementary or junior high or high school, there's that one guy that looks like he's got game, right? He's got the shoes, he's got the shorts, he looks athletic. You see him on the court and he's a doof. And you're like, oh man, I thought this guy was going to burn me, but he's just pathetic. And you get on the bus after, like, hey, do you know so-and-so? And you're like, yeah, and everybody starts making fun of the whole way home. That's this tree. All show and no game. A drugstore cowboy with no figs. This is Jesus' problem here. Have you ever seen something that looked promising? Now, this is other things too. But then when you go to investigate it, you come up short. Like, oh, that was a waste of time. Oh, that was a waste of money. Are you getting a feeling about how Jesus felt about this tree? It looks like it's an answer to your problems. You see potential, but when you get close and you start to inspect it, all you see is it was all false advertisement. What they promised is not what they delivered. And it leaves you frustrated and upset. And all these things that go with that. There's nothing worse in life than unmet potential. It's a tragedy. You see, God is always looking for potential in us. He's always looking at the potential in us. That seed of faith that could happen in our lives, no matter what the circumstances ahead of us, it could happen. It could bear fruit. You see, every moment of the Passion Week is full of these deep things that Jesus has experienced with his disciples and the things that he has followed up and said as a result of that. And here's one of those moments, the fig tree. He's teaching, he's preaching, he's doing miracles. Nothing is happening in the moment that surprises him. And understand, I'm not talking about omniscience. I'm talking about he knows this is coming. He knows his purpose, and he takes advantage of every opportunity to the fullest. And then you've got a fig tree. Getting up, going for a walk, forgot breakfast, sees it right there, and it's left him disappointed. Something else I found out in my figology, actually I got ahead of so many things, but figs are actually among the easiest fruits to take care of and to produce. I mean, literally from what it's like the weed of the Middle East. If one drops, it's going to grow a tree and it's going to produce. It just happens a lot. Fig trees, I mean, that's why they're so common. That's why they all eat figs. I was told it doesn't work so good up here. Is Alice in church today? I don't see her. Alice said, well, I have a fig tree and it doesn't produce anything. They're not native to Washington, okay? We get too much rain. Maybe. Again, all promise, no fulfillment. This fig tree is a fake fig tree. A real fig tree would have some figs. This is a fake. There's nothing worse than unmet potential. Jesus went to this fig tree hoping for nourishment, hoping for something to help him as he's coming into the toughest week of his time on earth. This time that he's going to the cross. And it left him wanting, left him disappointed. You see, now, take this at the core of this story. You know, Jesus sees our lives, each and every one of us. He sees the potential. He does not want us to live less than our best. The plans that he has predestined for us. You see, he's heading to the cross, but yet he still cares enough to teach his disciples this important lesson. Hey guys, this fig tree was all leaves and no figs. Don't be like that. I mean, we don't know all the other things that Jesus said and how he quantified and qualified and explained all these things about the fig tree to his disciples. I'm sure they said, well, that's not fair, Jesus. Why'd you do that? And I'm sure he explained it. We don't have that. That's why you've got me. You know, this is what, use our imagination, put ourselves in their shoes, imagine the conversations they're having about this fig tree. And he's saying, have faith in God. Tough times are coming. You better have real faith. Your faith better mean something. Don't be all leaves and no fruit. Jesus is telling his disciples that he sees potential in spite of what's around them. And if we put our faith in him, if we put our faith in God, and just watch what happens, who knows what could happen? And understand this, it's not putting your faith in faith. I think a lot of Christians do this. Well, I have faith that my faith will work. No, it's your faith in God. He said, put your faith in God, and you can move mountains. So first, my first three points, if you look in your notes, this has to do with the realities and the problems the fig tree is going through. Why doesn't this fig tree have fruit? Number one is this, the fig tree is all alone. You see, fig trees need to be in orchards, the same way Christians need to be in church. Amen. The fig tree is by itself. You see, it's hard to grow in faith and closer to God all by myself. It doesn't work. It's not how God designed it. The best fruit trees are in orchards. There's things that take place in the orchard that does not take place out on a hillside outside of Jerusalem. There's a reason why this fig tree did not have figs on it. And the first thing was, it wasn't in an orchard being taken care of. It was alone. There was no protection, no pollination, no fertilization, no pruning outside the orchard. You see, the best figs are grown in orchards. Part of my figology is pollination, not Polynesian. Although, if you go to Chick-fil-A, their Polynesian sauce is awesome. I just thought of that. But we're talking pollination. What is pollination? Pollination, you're getting just randomness, and I'm sorry for that. Pollination is that weird thing where you have to have more than one tree to make it bear fruit. A couple years ago, I planted a Honeycrisp apple tree. And there are certain apple trees that you have to have with a Honeycrisp apple tree in order to have it make Honeycrisp apples. I didn't know this. I mean, I just thought, you plant an apple tree, it's going to make apples. I didn't even consider other apples. So anyways, I planted the tree like 4 years ago. It got good roots. It's growing, all this kind of good stuff. And there's other apple trees all around, but I didn't know, okay, do they have to be super close? Do the bees carry the pollen? How's all this different stuff happen? And I just assumed, okay, at some point I'll buy another tree that works with this tree, and then someday I'll have apples. Long story short, we had an apple last year that was amazing. One Honeycrisp, I mean, it looked like it was straight off the shelf from Fred Meyer in the organic section. It was, and it tasted awesome. And I thought, how could this be? And I thought, well, somehow these other trees all around here somehow pollinated with it. And I thought, great, I don't have to buy another tree. That was my first thought. But we did anyways. But trees have to cross pollinate to produce fruit. Now we're going to get a real good play on words here. Take the Christianese here. We need to cross pollinate. We need to share the cross with others. We need our Wednesday nights. We need our dinner talks. We need Sundays. We need this time of worship and the word where we get the cross put in us. Yes. We need to talk to each other about this. This is cross pollination. Yes. It happens in the orchard. It happens in the church. You see, we grow in God better when we're in a group. We grow better in the orchard. We produce more in the orchard. I need you. You need me to grow. This is how God intended the potential in your life to be developed. This is how God intended for us to grow and bear fruit, is in the orchard. So don't be the lone fig tree. Number two, the fig tree had an appearance of bearing fruit. Again, it had leaves. Everything Jesus expected was based on what he saw. Appearance. And again, if you're a figologist yourself or whatever, botanist, whatever the thing, I don't care to know this, what I'm about to say. But leaves don't sustain anything. I'm sure they do, but in this, they're just a window dressing. Leaves look good. Yes, they provide shade, but how do the leaves make fruit? I don't care and I don't want to know. In this case, it didn't. It had a confession, because understand, Jesus thought, okay, there's leaves, and because I know how things work with figs, there should be figs on that. It had the confession, but no practice. I believe in God. So what? Show me what you believe in practice. Yeah, I believe in God, but I curse like a sailor. I believe in God, but I'm a cheat. I believe in God, but I'm a gossip. Show me godly fruit. This is what Jesus is saying. I'm a fig tree. I should have figs, but it didn't. And look what happens. It was cursed. You know, you can go to the book of John and it talks about I am the vine and you are the branches, also during the Passion Week. Maybe that was the conversation after the fig tree. If you abide in me and I abide in you, but any of those wild branches are going to be cut off and thrown into the fire, cursed. An appearance of not bearing fruit. You see, one of the greatest things we can do to grow in faith and produce fruit is to put our faith into practice. Develop our game. You see, it's great to talk about being a Christian and going to church and how much you love God, but that doesn't help you when you have a problem. You have to put your faith into practice. You know, the only thing that's ever helped me when I've had a problem is when I have actually practiced what I've preached and gone to others. And Russ is easy because he's always here. I'm like, Russ, I need you to pray with me about this. Or Kyler and I talk and we'll say, you know, we need to pray about this. Or, you know, I'm at home all the time. I've got my wife and my girls. And they're like, hey, let's pray about this. We put our faith into practice all the time. And they were like, wow, look how God moved in this way. It amazes me every time. But I don't want us to have an appearance. I want to bear fruit. But I've got to put my faith into practice. If you feel like you're stuck in part of your life and you need to grow, if you don't want to just have the appearance of a fruitful fig tree, I don't want to just talk the Christian talk. I want to know who Jesus is. I want him to know who I am. I want my faith to be alive. I don't want to just have the appearance. This is how the fig tree was, and that's why it was cursed. The third thing about the fig tree is this: it was absent of life. You see, if there is no fruit, then there's no life, because it is the fruit that allows the reproduction of the next generation, right? James 2:17 says, so you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces what? Good deeds. It is dead and useless. At some point, a tree that's not producing fruit will die. And how's it going to keep on going? Without fruit, it can't. Fruit reproduces life. See, I want to live where I reproduce, where I make a difference, where people can take that fruit and get life. I want people to hear about my faith and see my faith and say, you know what? They have faith in God. I can have faith in God. And all of a sudden you see it reproduced in the lives of other people. This is what Jesus wanted from his disciples. He said, you know, I'm going to the cross. I'm providing a way to salvation. I'm making it all work. But your faith has to do something. It has to be alive. You have to reproduce fruit. You can't just have the appearance. You can't be alone. You've got to do this. Otherwise, what good is it? I don't want to just be a spectator. I want to participate. I want to find freedom, purpose. I want to experience what the Bible talks about. You see, all these things, being alone, relying on appearance, being absent, are those things which rob the fig tree of its potential. They're the same things that keep us from our potential. So how do we change these things? The Bible shows us the opportunity to be a different kind of tree in Psalm 92. It's not a fig tree, but the principles work here. Psalm 92, verses 12 through 14 says, but the godly will flourish like a palm tree and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon. For they are transplanted to the house, to the Lord's house. They flourish in the courts of our God. Even in old age, they will still produce what?
Fruit.
Fruit. They will remain vital and green. You see, this is what God intends for our lives. That we do not live alone, but as a tree planted in God's house, bearing fruit into our old age. So there's scripture right there that doesn't matter how old you are, you should be bearing fruit. And also, in God's garden, orchard, the way it works, it doesn't matter how young you are. I mean, my Honeycrisp tree said I'd have to wait 7 years for one apple. We got it in three. I was saying on Wednesday night, I said, you know what? I said, I have a six-year-old that produces more fruit and faith than probably half this church. I'm not meaning that as a knock. That's a little girl of faith. She prays with her friends before they eat lunch. She brings her Bible to school. She talks about Jesus all the time. And that little girl produces fruit. And she's only six. This is what God intends for our lives, that we do not live alone, but that we're a tree in God's house, planted where I will grow. You see, we need to grow in and for God. We have to take steps towards growth. So how do we bear this fruit? Number one, roots. God wants us to have good roots in our lives. This is great preaching here. Good roots produce good fruits. But it's true. The roots are that secret part of the tree that no one sees, but provides the nutrients that everyone benefits from. Imagine now, what is the part of a Christian that nobody sees? Nobody sees your private time with God. Nobody sees your times of prayer and in His Word and growing close to Him. But it's those points that gets you grounded in deep so that you can produce good fruits. Even in the dry seasons, because if you've got deep roots, even when everything else around you is dry, you can still produce. You can still draw nutrients. So how do you develop roots? It's that prayer time. It's that personal time that you have with God. You know, I was thinking about this, and I was actually getting ready to prepare for my sermon this week, and my mind was going in a thousand different directions, and there's always stuff that goes on, and there is nobody here. Seriously, I'm not just saying that. There was nobody here. But there are some issues I've been dealing with for, honestly, some of them even just for a couple of years with some individuals. And I just started getting bitter. And I was thinking, fig trees. Curse. And my mind was going in a bad direction. And I was just ruminating about this, and I was getting bitter. And I was thinking, but here's the thing, as I was doing that, I thought, you know what? I don't want bitterness in my life. I have been professing forgiveness and going through these different things, and I thought, okay, obviously because this is still coming up in my life that the process of forgiveness isn't complete. And I'm like, God, I want this gone. I am forgiving, but I want you to take away the hurt. I want to be able to see these people in agape love. I want to have this choice love. I don't want to see these people and then be bitter. And so that's where it was, and I'll say I felt pretty good. And so I was preparing, and I hopped on my computer, and there is this I typed in roots, you know, because that's how a lot of times I find scriptures. I don't know all these scriptures. I use my computer and search engines. But here, Hebrews 12:15, it says, look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Good thing, right? Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. And I thought about this. I thought, okay, same principles here. You see, when you have good roots, it produces fruits that benefits many. But if you have bad roots, it's going to corrupt you and hurt many. Roots are roots. Either they're going to produce good things or they're going to produce bad things in our lives. But it was prayer. It was that time of reflection and saying, God, search me. And I do this regularly, as we all should. Lord, if there's any wrong in me, search my heart. And let there be nothing in me that's bad. And this is what he pointed out. And so I gave it to him. I cut that root out. And I said, okay, God, I want good roots because I want to produce fruit. See, our roots grow deep when we spend time with God. So many things happen. So the first thing you need to have to be a producing fig tree or a producing Christian, to have faith in God, is roots. Second is this, water. Plants don't grow without water, right? Theology 102. So what is the water for us as believers? It's worship and it's the Word. You know, I don't have the scriptures for it, but you can find them yourself and just know. It's worship and the Word. I mean, you need rain from heaven. You need to have this washing over your lives so that you are nourished and sustained. We need to be refreshed in the presence of God all the time. You know, the older I get, the more I realize I need more worship.
Amen.
I think the devil has deceived our older generations and think they can only worship in one way, and they admire the worship of young people when they should be the example. Because you don't have much time left. You're closer to God than I am, chronologically. And that means you're also at a place where you're going to be worshiping. I mean, what do you think you're going to do in heaven? Worship. In His presence, constantly. So you better get your worship on now, because you're not going to not be doing it there. The older you get, the more of a worshiper you should be. I put in my notes, I don't have it on there, but I put birth, then I put all these dots, and I put now, death. I'm closer to death than I am birth. Actually, you know what? I'm right middle of the way. I'll be 40 in a couple weeks. I think I can make it to 80 or plus. But I'm right in the middle. I can't go back. I can only go forward. I have less time now than I had yesterday. I need this water in my life. See, nothing refreshes my life, my family, my marriage, my mind, like worship and the Word. When I have a bad day, I go to the Word and I go to worship. I need to wash the garbage off, the crud off, and get back to where I need to be with God. You know, how much different would our lives be if we would listen and participate in worship instead of doubt, be doubtful, be frustrated, and be worrying about things? See, worship, what worship does, it changes the environment. What does water do to a garden? It makes it flourish. It changes the environment. I don't have a picture for it, but imagine, you know, it looks pretty brown. Imagine if it rained there. It'd all be green. Water changes the environment. You feel dry, you feel parched, you feel like you aren't producing, start worshiping. Water your life. Environment matters if you want to produce fruit. Third is this, relationships. I know that has nothing to do with the tree, but you know, we talk about the orchard, the cross-pollination, that kind of stuff. If you want to bear fruit, then you have to have some relationships in your life. You have to surround yourself with other trees. All Mossy Rock Assembly of God is a big orchard. That's what we are. We're a big orchard of fruit-bearing trees. We grow together. In the right environment, in a good environment, we produce fruit. In fact, I put bad environments produce bad fruit. Good environments produce good fruit. You want to get a handle on your cussing? Stop hanging around cussers, if you can. You get what I'm saying with that, right? Whatever the bad production in your life, cut it out. If you want to produce good fruit, be around good trees. Input equals output. All of this helps us show Jesus. It's the ultimate goal. It's reaching our potential. And here's the thing too. You can be in church, but not in the orchard. You can be a spectator, but you're constantly transplanting yourself. You know what happens to trees? This was in figology, but it could be, I guess. If you're constantly replanting a tree, you're not going to produce because your roots are never able to get into the ground. So you can be in church and then pull your roots up and go out there and go sit at the bar and do whatever. And you're like, man, I'm in church every week, but I don't produce fruit because your roots aren't in it. Do you ever feel like you're not growing? Do you ever feel like you're not producing? Look at some verses. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect." You'll know his potential. You don't find that outside the orchard. You don't find that planted outside of the orchard. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. We won't make it if we're not planted in the right place. You will not make it planted in your past, but hoping for a different future. We have to make changes. Input equals output. So my question is to you is this. Again, I think about Jesus and his disciples. They're like, "No way, that tree is dead. It's cursed." And I think this could have been a conversation they had going back to wherever they were headed to. And he said, "You know what? You need to have faith in God if you're going to produce fruit. And just like you know how a fruit tree is, how a fig tree is, this is what you need to do. That tree was cursed because it was where it wasn't supposed to be at. It was alone. It had an appearance. It wasn't doing any good. Put it out of its misery." And that's what he did. But then he says, "But that's not my plan for you. I see potential in you. I see a seed of faith that if you nurture it, if you put it in the right place, and if you grow, if you put it, if you put what you know and confess into practice, into your old age, you're going to produce fruit and keep producing and reproducing." Amen. And that's what you're going to need in the book of Acts. That's what you're going to need during the dark ages. This is what you're going to need in 2019, in the environment that we live in that is parched. Amen. Right. Of spirit-filled living. This is what your friends and family are going to need as you come up to Easter weekend and find out that it's more about, you know, the cross than bunny rabbits and eggs.
Amen.
Are you going to reproduce life for your friends, your family, your neighbors? Because you can move mountains if you have faith in God. Anything can happen. That's what I have for you today. If you would just bow your heads for a moment. I don't know about you, but I have moments, or actually I have seasons sometimes where as I look at myself like, man, I am not doing as good as I should be. I don't see fruit as I should in my life. And the very next thing I ask myself is, okay, what am I not doing that I should be doing? And then I let God show me. I don't always get it right. It's not like I'm this perfect pastor that says, "Oh, yes, God, you say that for me, so I will do it wholeheartedly." I rebel. Sometimes I don't submit. Sometimes I have to take the long way to get to where I need to go. But my prayer is always I keep my heart sensitive and soft towards God and that I submit, because honestly, it's way easier to submit to him than to get broken by my stupidity. And that's what your opportunity is right now. If you feel that you're not producing fruit, I believe the Holy Spirit will show you what's going on. Maybe you've been alone. You need to get back in the orchard. You need to get pruned a little bit, cross-pollinated, fertilized. All those different things that produce good fruit and good trees. Maybe you're all leaves. Maybe you're a drugstore cowboy. Sorry. I was going to say, I get a picture of my brother-in-law, although he doesn't have a 10-gallon hat. He's got the belt buckle, and it's awesome. It's so cool. Okay, back on track. I'm sorry. You have the appearance, but you don't got the game. Maybe you need to have some pruning done. Maybe you haven't produced life in a long time. Maybe it's time to start doing that. You know where you're at if you let yourself be open to the Holy Spirit, because He will show you. And so I just ask you right now, is just let God be God. Repent, be refreshed, and reproduce. So Father, right now, as You are ministering to each and every one of us, showing us those areas of our lives where we have not surrendered to You, I ask that You'd help us to change. Whether it's getting deeper roots, whether it's allowing ourselves to be watered, whether it's entering into relationships, whatever it takes, God, help us to not be like this cursed fig tree. Let us accept the words that Jesus said afterwards, which is, have faith in God, and here's how you do it. Here's what you'll get from it. Here's how you bear fruit. Lord, help us to be that kind of tree, and help us to be that kind of orchard here in Mossy Rock. Help us to be a church that reproduces, that bears fruit, that produces life everlasting, God. And so, Father, as You just investigate our lives right now, as You search out those things that shouldn't be there, Lord, I right now just ask that You just give us the grace that You have for us, that You'd wash us clean, that You'd make us new, that You'd rejuvenate us and refresh our lives so that we can do great things for You. And Father, I ask in the upcoming weeks as we focus on more things of these moments before the cross, Lord, that we would just submit ourselves to Your words and Your word and in your Bible, God. So fill us today, Father, with Your Holy Spirit. Help us to achieve our potential that You see. In Jesus' name, amen.